Our passage of scripture today is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. If you'd like to turn or turn on your phones, Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Well, this week, we have a new president. And we wonder, well, how's that going to go? What's that going to look like? And we realize it's not just him, but he has a vice president, and he'll, you know, have a cabinet and advisors and a whole administration. And I don't know about you, but maybe sometimes we look at our leaders in government and we're not quite sure. Is that a model or example that we should follow? I mean, is that how you get things done? Well, then Jesus comes along and invites us into his administration. He doesn't call it that. He calls it a kingdom. What's it like to be part of Jesus' kingdom? What's it like to be a leader at a church? What's it like to follow Jesus? That's what we've been trying to ask and answer in this series that we're in about the apostles. And it's a good question for all of us. What does it mean to serve King Jesus in his kingdom? In our passage, the verses and even a chapter or so before, that's what Jesus had been talking to the disciples about the kingdom of God. He had given several details to these guys. He tells them that they'll be rewarded for what they give up here on earth, that these 12 will sit on 12 thrones, and that Jesus was, well, he was on his way to Jerusalem where he was going to die. Immediately following this is our story. James, John, brothers, and their mother, Salome, ask Jesus about leadership in the kingdom. We're going to focus in on James today, a popular name. There were three prominent James in the New Testament. Two of Jesus' disciples were James, and one of Jesus' brothers was James. It's not Jesus' brother that we're looking at today. Actually, in about less than an hour in our Christian living class, we're studying the book of James. That's written by the brother of Jesus. That's not this James. This is James, son of Zebedee. And then the other James was James, son of Alphaeus, sometimes referred to as James the Lesser. He was either just not as prominent, or some maybe even think he was shorter than big James the fisherman. James is one of the inner three, kind of inner circle with Jesus, James, his brother John, and Peter. There's a lot written in the Bible about John, his brother, but very little about James. But this is our passage today, and we want to know about leadership. And we're going to look at it from two different perspectives, the human side, the human perspective, and the divine side. So we're going to look at James first on leadership. He's going to demonstrate for us some of the problems of just human leadership. What are some of the problems? Well, first there's pride. Jesus has said, you will be sit on 12 thrones, you 12 apostles. And some think James and John put their mother up to this. In Matthew's gospel, it's James and John who make this request here. Mark it is. This is Matthew. In Matthew's account, they have mom ask Jesus. But they're not content with just sitting on any thrones. They want the right hand and the left hand, two most prominent spots or positions, right? Jesus had been talking about a kingdom, and they probably assumed, oh, good, Jesus is going to finally sort of kick it into gear here and get David's kingdom rolling again, and boy, we want to be in on that. Oftentimes, one of the problems with human leadership can be, for any leader, is sort of this pride and ambition. Here's another one. Their perception. Jesus says, wait a minute, you know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink, the cup of suffering? Do you know what it's going to cost you? Are you willing to pay the price? They said to him, we're able. Of course we can. Perhaps they thought that establishing this kingdom was going to be a fight, a military conquest. And boy, the spirit of the sons of thunder, that's what Jesus called these two brothers. They were kind of passionate, zealous, thunderous kind of guys. Boy, that could have stirred them up pretty good. And man, you can count on me. Passionate people can be like that, right? Which is good. What's it going to take? I'm willing. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. And James is like, that's sort of what he's looking at. He's perceiving that that's what being in the kingdom is all about. Well, then there's another problem is people. Not that people are the problem, but if you have this view on leadership, you see people as a problem. Not only are James and John thinking this, the other 10, when they heard all about this, they're indignant at the two brothers. Now, why? Well, it doesn't say, but we can sort of read between the lines. What? You two want to be over us? Not a chance. Or maybe, well, that would have been a good thing. You beat us to the punch. I want to be on the right and left hand too. And so the disciples are kind of upset and squabbling kind of back and forth. And that wasn't the first time. That can happen, can it? Where you see people as obstacles. You see the goal. You're pretty motivated. But people get in the way. They slow you down. They're obstacles. They're problems. And in our cancel culture, the solution is you get rid of them. You cross them out. You bump them off. You hate them. They're the enemies. I'm not going to dialogue or work with them. Nope, I just get rid of them. That's the solution if you see people as problems. And then there's one other problem, is power. Jesus says, wait a minute, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And the next verse he'll get to, but he's going to say, not so with you. Jesus says, no, that's the Gentile human side of leadership. That people think, well, if I'm a leader and I get in power, boy, that'll be great, because I love telling people what to do. I'm in charge, you got to do it my way. And Jesus says, that's one perspective. And he's going to correct that. That can even happen at church, even with the pastor or an elder or a teacher. Hey, I'm in charge, you do what I say. And it's more about power and control. Well, maybe I've tipped my hand a little bit. Is that what Jesus thinks? These problems? Right? It's sort of the natural, human, earthly sort of view and process and attitudes and actions. Oh, that's how leadership, that's what you do. There's pride. There's perception that people are problems and there's a thirst for power. Well, is that what Jesus, does he agree with that? Is that his view? Or does he see it differently? Well, let's look. Let's go back. Jesus on leadership. What's he think? Here's his chance, right? They're asking about, I want to be in your kingdom and I want to be a leader. What's that all about? Well, let's go back. It's interesting that he recognizes our faith. It must have taken some faith on the disciples' part to hear Jesus talk about a kingdom and thrones and influence, but that he was going to die. Well, they didn't get that at first, of course, but it must have taken some kind of faith on their part to believe, okay, this Jesus is really going to do this. We really are going to have these positions of authority. I'm glad that Jesus recognizes that, even right with you and me. He sees our faith when we step out and try and lead and do something. We lead a small group or teach a Sunday school class. We help with a youth event or a church outreach. We trust Jesus when we play our God-given roles in our family, or we share our faith with somebody, or we try and live a good Christian life in our neighborhood, or people at work, or we pray, or we trust God. Jesus sees all that. And he recognizes, well, there's some faith there. But now he's going to clarify the commitment. The disciples were, they thought they sort of had it figured out. But he calls on them to be certain. You know what you're asking? Are you able to drink? Oh, we sure are. And then he said, well, you will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left, it's not mine to grant. It's for those whom it's been prepared by my Father. He calls them to be certain about the commitment that they're making, which is good, because Jesus was just honest about what's it going to take to follow him, and none of the disciples, none of you and I either, we can't kind of turn around and say, wait a minute, Jesus, you were never clear about this. You sort of snuck this in. No, we can't do that. Jesus says, this is going to cost you, you disciples. But notice, even though he's clarifying that, he's confident about their commitment. He doesn't say you can drink it, but actually you will. You will drink my cup. You will suffer because you're following me. Now, did they? Well, James, who's part of this, James and John, we'll just deal with them. James ends up being the first apostle to give his life for Jesus. About 10 years after Jesus' resurrection, 10, 12 years maybe, Herod puts him to death with the sword. And John, the younger brother, John lives to an old, ripe age, and he's exiled. And these brothers, James is the first apostle to die. His brother John is the last apostle to die. So Jesus knows for sure, yes. Now, you don't know the future, you people who follow me. Yes, your devotion is good, but I want to clarify this. There's going to be some things that's going to cost you. But I'm confident, James and John, you're going to be with me to the very end. And sure enough, they were. I'm glad that you and I, we don't know what the future holds, and we don't know what Jesus is going to ask of us. And even when we sort of fail and stumble and don't get it right, Jesus is still confident. Well, you'll do this. You'll keep following me. So thank you, Jesus, for your confidence in me. He's going to get more specific. He's going to say, leadership really is servanthood. Now, Jesus doesn't contest or say that wanting to be great or being first, oh, that's a bad thing. Jesus doesn't say that. But he's going to change our perception. He's going to clarify that. And he's going to say, whoever, not just those disciples, but that's you and me, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first, I like being first, must be your slave. He's going to turn it around, isn't he? He says it's not lording it over like the Gentiles do, but serving. Now, learning to serve others rather than yourselves, that was a hard lesson for the disciples. It's hard for you and me too, isn't it? To serve other people. But that's what Jesus says. If you want to be, you're my kingdom and you want to be great, you're going to have to learn to serve. You want to be at the top? Yeah, start at the bottom. You need to serve. Those can be tough lessons sometimes. During the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers who were working on something. They were repairing this defensive barrier. And their leader was shouting instructions, but making no attempt to help him. And he asked, why wasn't helping? And he responded, sir, I'm a corporal. The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. And after the job was done, he turned to the corporal and said, corporal, next time you have a job like this, and not enough men to do it, go to your commander-in-chief, and I'll come help you again. It was George Washington, who was the servant leader. Jesus says, that's what it takes. And now one final word from Jesus. He's going to give an example. He's going to give himself as an example of this servant leadership. Even the Son of Man, kind of a title for himself, he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Obviously, Jesus would go and give his life. He would die on the cross for us. Now, we can't die for other people's sins. We can't give our life like a ransom like that. But our motivation and attitude and perspective can be the same as that of Jesus. To serve, to think of others, to not think of ourselves. Jesus gives that example. So if you want to be great, if you want to be part of Jesus' kingdom, he's called you to be a leader, that's what's going to take. Well, what do we learn from James? James served through his availability. The reason that James and John and Peter, kind of those inner three, the reason they're mentioned so much is that they're always there. They were always with Jesus. They were always ready and willing to follow Jesus and do what I asked them. Well, did this previous son of thunder ever get it? Did he ever learn how to be a servant leader? The book of Acts gives us a few clues. And I won't turn there, I don't have a slide, but let me just go through a couple quick things to conclude today. Acts chapter 2, James is there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes on not just the apostles, but all the believers. And James realizes that the power for the Christian life is not yourself, it's God's Spirit. And it's available for every believer. Acts chapter 5, James is among the apostles who were flogged and jailed. And then when they were finally released, it says they rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Acts 6, he's there with the apostles who commission the deacons of the church. That he affirms and realizes that leadership in the church is not just with apostles, it's with other people too. And they commission these deacons to serve. And then finally, I believe a great servant leader, he even served through his death. Acts 12:2, Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I don't think James was that flashy, but somehow Herod wanted to mistreat the church and quiet them and maybe even sort of just get rid of them. And so it was James who he killed. And in some powerful way, the passion and the strength of the church was symbolized in this disciple, James. And indeed, he does become the first apostle. Stephen had been one of the deacons. Stephen had already been martyred, but he was the first apostle who drank the cup that Jesus drank, the cup of death. God may not ask us to die like that. He may ask us to lay down our life for this in the service of others. So may God empower us and give us passion like James to serve others. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for these apostles and Apostle James today. Thank you for his example, and even his transformation from a son of thunder who earlier wanted to call down thunder and lightning and judgment upon people who didn't follow Jesus. Jesus says, no, that's not the way to do it. But following Jesus changed him and made him into a servant leader. So thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for working in our lives in so many ways. We submit ourselves to you. And as the way the service started, we want to love you and love others as ourselves. Help us to do that. In Christ's name, amen. Final song today is just a great affirmation of dependence and trust. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you, right? Should you say, well, no, there's some days that maybe I just don't need God. Today, God, I'll just take it, I'll do it myself. And if I really get in trouble in a pinch, I'll call you, but I really don't need you. No, I don't think that's a wise prayer. This is, Lord, I do. I need you. Let's sing that together.